tell me, just what is a hero?
Well, Margot, I'm afraid that I've never been able to answer that question to my own satisfaction.
But you've seen so many men under fire.
Yes, I know. But the men I've seen under fire have been fighting for something they believed in. Now, I don't think you can call that heroism.
No?
No. To fight for what you know to be true and to your best interest is just good, plain, common horse sense. Do you understand what I mean, Lamont?
I do, Major. I've always said that heroes should be judged by the measure of fear they have in their hearts. Not by what they do, but by how afraid they were to do it.
Well, that makes them pretty rare individuals, doesn't it, Lamont?
It does, Margot. I think I've only known one man who really measured up to those qualities in all my life.
Who is that, Lamont?
Sebastian. Remember him?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And don't you think he was a real hero?
Yes, he was.
Sebastian? I don't think I've ever heard of him. Was he recommended for the service corps?
No, Major. Sebastian was a man who crossed our paths one summer on Little Cauldron Island, one of the more remote of the Geechee group, about 80 miles off the Georgia coast.
But who was Sebastian?
Oh, just a chap who passed unknown and unsung. But for my money, he was a model of the purest form of heroism.
Well, I'd like to hear about him.
Very well. May I fill your glass, Major?
Oh, yes, thanks.
Well, Margot and I were vacationing on Little Cauldron that summer. The island was virtually owned by Gerald and Edmund Fergus. A desolate place. In fact, the Fergus brothers and their sister Polly were the only whites living there. The rest of the population consisted of some 2,000 backward and illiterate natives.
Backward and illiterate? That's giving the natives a break, Lamont.
You see, Major, these natives practiced a peculiar form of voodooism. They worshipped reptiles.
Worship reptiles?
I know it seems unbelievable to find such primitiveness only a few hours' journey from the Georgia coast. Nevertheless, it's true. I still carry proof of it here on my watch chain.
What is it?
A bit of hard wood carved to resemble a serpent's head. The natives use it to ward off evil.
The natives call it a snake stone. All of them wear one tied around the neck.
Yes. Well, one day, just about dusk, during our first week on the island, Gerald Fergus, Margot, and I had gone down to the beach to meet the mail launch. Edmund Fergus was in his study on the lower floor of the big house attending to his accounts. Everything was quite orderly, routine, except that up in Miss Polly's room, at the rear of the big frame nest.
It's heavy tonight, Phoebe.
Very heavy.
Where are you going?
Downstairs, Miss Polly.
Wait until I finish dressing, please.
Tonight's night of dance congo. All sleepers make this dance for spirits of dead. We may go now.
Oh, no, please don't go. They'll begin those dreadful drums in a moment.
If you're afraid of dark, you like to kiss, maybe?
Hey, what is it?
Snake stone. Long to see me. Keep evil spirits away.
I don't believe in your superstition, Sini.
Then see me go.
No, 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 please, Sini.
It do you no good for me to say.
What do you mean?
Please, Polly, know that Govi, Papa Loy, rich man of Little Cauldron, put voodoo on Mr. Edmund, Mr. Gerald, and hurt you.
I don't believe that, Sini. Besides, Papa Loy has to have some of our clothing or our hair. Some evil belongs to us to make the voodoo work.
You're right, Miss Polly. You're right.
Of course I'm right.
Maybe Miss Polly noticed the skinny clean her hairbrush. Miss Polly must be careful. She's losing hair. Mr. Gerald, Mr. Edmund losing hair, too. All Fergus leave hair and brushes. But Sini takes hers. She takes hers.
Sini! She did it. She gave the callings to the witch man. Because she hates us. All of them do. They don't want us here. She must get dressed and tell Edmund all about it. He'll fix her. He'll have her arrested. He'll put an end to all this. Outside that window.
Oh, Tara.
Who's there? I can see someone. Who is it? Tell me. Who are you?
any closer. Ain't got any mail anyway, but I thought you might be interested to know we found the gun.
Oh, good. Can you identify it?
No, not
yet. Gerald?
Margot?
Gerald?
What is it? Why did you call her?
The Monticello. Something's happened to her.
Huh? Gerald? Come on, old boy. Gerald?
Is he dead?
I'm afraid so, Margo. Who are you? What are you doing here?
I'm called Sebastian.
The killer. The missing killer.
Tell me quickly. Who are the ladies holding to the right bar?
Edmund Ferguson and Sister Polly. They died earlier this evening.
Gone.
Why have you come here? You, an escaped murderer? Listen, I don't know what you've heard about me.
I didn't kill that man on the mainland.
You've been suspected of the crime.
Edmund Fergus put the police on my trail. He did this because he himself was the murderer.
How can you say that?
I saw him do it. He knows that I saw him. That's why he accused me. Edmund is a dangerous man. He's mad, I tell you. Mad.
Edmund Fergus is dead, you know that. You know that your accusations can never be challenged.
Edmund Fergus is not dead.
What are you saying?
I came here to warn you to take a boat to the mainland at once.
What is he talking about?
I can't stay here any longer. It isn't safe.
Wait, you're not going. I won't let you go.
Take your hands off me. You're all wanted by the police, and I shall see that they get you.
Don't be a fool. Let me go.
Come on. Look, coming over the hill. The natives, hundreds of them.
I warned you. I warned you this would happen. There seems to be a white man leading them.
Cinema fans. But actually, it's a fantasy world. They're entering a fantasy world where girls are infinitely available and the most beautiful in the world, where men are infinitely sensitive, and where the environment is always infinitely exotic. This is a, you know, when you're living in a little pad above Schraff's on Second Avenue, you want to have an affair with a Swedish movie star, so you wind up down at Cinema 2. Now, there are other people, you see, who fantasize about equipment, not about chicks particularly. They fantasize about equipment. And nothing has really been given to them. And so you could work up various types of fantasy equipment. I mean, you could really, really get involved with this thing so that you have a whole control room that you enter. And you sit in this special seat. And it's like a flight simulator. And you sit in a special seat. And you could take a symbolic courses, and after 3 months, you are able now, after so many simulated hours in the flight control center of this equipment, you are able to attain certain readout results that take very, very touchy special control. And it doesn't really, you're not landing anything or flying anything. You're not in a flight simulator. The machine is its own end. Now, wouldn't it be...
It's Ferguson. Edmund Ferguson.
He's right. The monitor is Edmund. He's alive.
Yes. Yes, I see him now.
Oh,
quiet. He's shouting something to them.
Follow me. Follow your God who has returned from the grave.
Edmund,
three or four months of dual control work with a, by the way, a trained, licensed controller of this equipment. And then you can learn various other functions. How, for example, to operate two of them at once. That's a multi-engine operation, you see. And so you're sitting here whining, oh, it could be fantastic. And then it could wind up, of course, they can have international competitions then, just like films now, you know. The international competition is an exchange of fantasies. We're trying to decide whether Frenchmen can make better fantasies than Swedish guys, see? Or whether Swedish guys make better fantasies than a guy from Burbank, California, you see? So ultimately, we will have an international meet, let's say at Cannes. And all the great operators would gather, be seated down, and of course it would eventually get to be a spectator sport. And all of us would watch those meters going until eventually we see that beautiful that confluction of powers, that the radial vectors all come together, the fantastic performance where this guy is operating a machine that is rapidly deteriorating, you see. It is rapidly deteriorating, and that if he does not hit this, and of course you have to have a punishment factor. If he does not hit this at exactly the right moment, it's tremendously complex, that an enormous surge of power ejects him right out of his seat back.
What did you call her?
Lamont, it's Gerald. Something's happened to him.
Well, Gerald. Come on, old boy. Gerald.
Lamont. Is he dead?
I'm afraid so, Margo. Who are you? What are you doing here? I'm called Sebastian.
The killer. The missing killer.
Tell me quickly. Who are the ladies told you to write for? Edmund Burgess and his sister Polly. They died earlier this evening. Why have you come here? You, an escaped murderer? Listen, I don't know what you've heard about me. I didn't kill that man on the mainland. You've been suspected of the crime. Edmund Fergus put the police on my trail. He did this because he himself was the murderer. How can you say that? I saw him do it. He knows that I saw him. That's why he accused me. Edmund is a dangerous man. He's mad, I tell you. Mad. Edmund Fergus is dead. You know that. You know that your accusations can never be challenged. Edmund Fergus is not dead. What are you saying? I came here to warn you to take a boat to the mainland at once.
What is he talking about?
I can't stay here any longer. It isn't safe. Wait, you're not going. I won't let you go. Take your hands off me. You're wanted by the police, and I shall see that they get you. Don't be a fool. Let me go.
Come on. Look, coming over the hill. The natives, hundreds of them.
I warned you this would happen. There seems to be a white man leading them. I see them on. It's Fergus. Edmund Fergus.
He's right, Lamont. It is Edmund. He's alive.
Yes, I see him now.
Oh!
Quiet. He's shouting something to the
boat. Follow me! Follow your God who has returned from the grave!
Defend ourselves against what?
What have we done?
You have broken the laws of the island.
He's mad, Lamont, mad.
Yes, but not so mad that he didn't know what he was doing when he murdered his own sister and brother.
What are you saying?
You know that's true, Edmund. You had Polly done away with, and you yourself gave Gerald a slow poison in his drink.
That's blasphemy.
You killed him to satisfy your insane craving for power. You wish the natives to believe in your supernatural resurrection.
Enough. I've heard enough.
You killed your brother and sister to save your own neck. Deny that if you can.
Take them away. Take them away, both of them. Obey when your God speaks to you. Take them to the ceremonial ground. Place them under guard in one of the huts. Tomorrow at dawn, they shall die.
Margot.
Yes, Lamont.
The guards are sleeping.
Yes, I know.
I could only reach that infernal rope that's binding my ankle. I could free myself.
Oh, keep trying, Lamont.
Must be nearly dawn. They'll be coming for us soon. He must get free.
What's that?
The door's opening. Someone's coming into the hut. Who's there?
Quiet.
Sebastian. I've come to help you.
Sebastian?
How did you get here without their seeing you?
Never mind that. Time is too precious to waste on talk. Have the natives awakened yet?
No, but they will soon. I have a knife here. I'll cut your ties. Likewise, they don't move.
What are our chances for escape?
Not good.
Are there any boats nearby?
They're all being watched.
There you are.
Thanks.
Now, the young lady, I'll cut her bonds, too.
No, no, wait. I've just thought of something. Something that has one chance in 1,000 of working, but we must gamble that it will.
What? What is it, Lamont?
You must remain tied up, Margot.
Lamont, I...
Oh, please. Please trust me, Margot. Sebastian, are you willing to trust me, too? To do whatever I say, if it means our getting out of here safely?
Certainly.
Good. Here. I want you to wear my coat. Yeah, take it. Give me yours.
All right.
You must remain here in my place, Sebastian. I shall tie you with the ropes that once bound me.
I'm willing.
I must tie you quickly, then.
Where are you going, Lamont?
To try to bring freedom to all of us. There. That'll have to do.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Trust me, both of you.
I wonder if he'll come back.
I'm sure he will.
Well, in any case, I'll do my best, young lady, to give you what little protection I can offer.
Courage, young lady, courage.
Where is the mark? Why doesn't he come?
There's still time. Have faith.
Bring them here. Bring them to the stake.
My orders. Obey me. Let go of me.
Stop.
No, you can't do this. Edmund, listen to me. These savages obey your command. Listen, stop in heaven's name before it's too late.
Nobby Papaloy. You call master. Nobby Papaloy will prepare the victim for the sacrifice. Nobby Papaloy, obey.
Take your hands off me, all of you.
You're supposed to struggle now.
Are you giving up today?
No, no, I'm waiting for the time, the proper time to strike.
Doing with me? Where are they taking me?
We're in a large clearing, surrounded by the natives. In the center of the clearing, Gobi Papaloi, the witch man, waits. In his hand, he holds the sacrificial knife.
No! No, they found the murderous gold. Look!
It's the ritual.
Ritual? Up here, a tribe of those snake stone wearing savages even use that sacred knife. The world! The world! Very well, I see no chance now. You can do with
me if you
wish. Don't give up hope. Nobby Papaloi will strike. I offer sacrifice to the man. So hands and sides of the man. Nobby Papaloi, now take life.
Oh, no, you don't! Ah! Attack Papaloi! Fight man, attack Papaloi!
Stop him, I say!
He's a knife, attack Papaloi!
Get that knife away from him!
That knife. Now give it back to White Man. Sebastian, what have they done to you?
You.
Oh, carry on. Go on.
What did they have to say? Oh, Lord. Kill it.
Your helpless victim, Zini.
Oh. Oh, you. I ask no one.
You shall find out soon enough.
Voodoo. That voodoo magic.
Strike me! Let's hear the sacrifice. Why do you stand there like that?
Because I have willed her to do so.
Who speaks? Where did that voice come from?
You might know me, Edmund Fergus, as the Shadow.
Shadow?
So you've heard of me. Then you must know why I'm here, Edmund. I've come to put an end to your reign of terror and murder.
How dare you defy me? Use the knife, Sini.
She is powerless. Observe this, all of you. I have willed it that this girl's life be spared. Now watch as the knife is taken from Sini's hand by an unseen power. There, you see. You see her drop the knife.
Pay no attention to him. He's regarded it quickly. Keep quickly.
You can answer that, Sini. Did you feel the pressure of my hand upon your arm? Did I make you drop that knife?
Yes. You said voodoo. Powerful voodoo magic.
Wait. Wait, all of you. Don't be swayed by an unseen voice. I am your master. I am your god. You must obey me.
That is a lie. He is not a god. He is a mortal being who tricked you into believing that he had returned from the dead. Let me tell you this. Edmund Fergus never died. He had no resurrection.
Don't listen to him. Continue the ceremony. I command you.
You command Edmund Fergus, but none obeys. They stand silently. You are rapidly losing your hold on these people.
They must obey. You hear? I must.
Look, all of you. Observe the behavior of your god. See how frightened he acts. He's afraid of you. He's afraid of what you'll do to him.
No.
If he were a god, why didn't he prevent the death of your witch man, Gobi Pataloi? Why doesn't he stop me now from telling you these things?
Wait, don't listen to him.
There is blood on his hands. Much blood. The blood of your people and his.
Keep away from him. Turn back, all of you.
Margo, but quickly to the beach.
Yes.
Don't come any nearer.
Your power is now in the frigate. These people are too out.
Quite a story, Lamont. But as for this fellow Sebastian, I hate to disagree with you, but I wouldn't call him an exceptional hero. After all, he did what any other man would have done in the same situation.
Not exactly, Major. You see, when the natives prepared to burn the remains of Sebastian, tied around his neck, they found a snake stone.
You mean he believed in voodoo?
Completely.
He was a member of the cult, Major.
Then he must have believed that in killing the witch man, he was dooming himself to eternal damnation.
Not sure that he did.
Yet he killed him anyway. I wonder how he ever brought himself to do it.
A hero, Major, must be measured by the amount of fear he has in his heart.